Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. My name is Abu Tam, the American Fundamentalist. I put the fun in fundamentalism. Our title for the show tonight is Here Comes El Trumpo. I gave him that title when the communist said he would never get of the Latino vote. He's going to get the majority of the Latino vote. You want to see the Trump fast draw? You want to see it again? That's how quick this guy is. How sad that the Republican media has to turn to SNL clips for comedy. Every time I turn on Fox, they're showing something from SNL. SNL hates Fox. Fox a bunch of fools. You mean you can't come up with an American fundamentalist who can give you 30 minutes of fun, making fun of the people who make fun of you? What's the matter with you guys? Are you so consumed by trying to overturn the rising tide of El Trumpoism that you don't see the woods for the trees? Why reward somebody who hates you by plugging Democrat punch lies? Is the Republican Party humorless? No creativity, no imagination? You know what that leads to? Lost elections. Give me a half hour. I'll put together a package for you that'll rock the world. In one year, you'll be second to SNL. And the year after, we'll be going to their funeral. Yeah, we'll be riding in the flower car. Predictions for 2016. Everybody makes predictions, all these political nerds. So I decided I'm going to make my own predictions. I have five of them. And here are my predictions of 2016, without a drum roll. Prediction one, honors his commitment not to form a third party. Trump forms a second party. Because there's only one party, folks. If you haven't seen that by now, you're as slow as I am. Prediction number two, Obama enslaves a nation. Secret Service quits, and they're replaced by ISIS. Yeah, when he said he had an army bigger than the United States Army, he forgot to tell us it was his ISIS army. It's unbelievable. What else did I see? It was 6,000 cops in Times Square last night. You know, that's half the FBI. How's the FBI going to keep us safe? They got 12,000 guys on the job. New York City Police Department has 35,000. It's unbelievable. Maybe we could lend them the sanitation police and put them in garbage cans outside mosques. They could work undercover. No, you can't listen in on the mosque because they're plotting our death, and we don't want to know when that day will come. Prediction number three. Under orders from NBC, Obama appoints Al Sharpton to the Supreme Court. Prediction number four. The party of death, realizing that Hillary Clinton can't win, asks her to fake another illness and step down. Bernie Sanders passes away and is buried alive in Lenin's tomb. Five, the All-American Party defeats the all-white Democrat Klan candidates. Trump goes to work and saves the nation in 2 days. Viva El Trumpo. Viva Cristo Rey, Vaya Conte Fiesta, go tea party, baby. Let's see what we're going to do. Cal Jada. Okay, we have a message from our leader. Happy New Year from Donald J. Trump. Trump says, make America great again. Oh, it's addressed to me. Oh, I'm thrilled. Oh, dear Tom, Happy New Year. Yes, sir, boss. I'm for you all the way, man. We're going to the parapets together. 2016 is going to be an amazing year, and with your support, we will make this nation better and stronger than ever before. Man, we need to be strong. Hey, Donald, see what you can do for the families of the Fort Leavenworth 10. They're living in shame and poverty. Obama has put their husbands in prison for fighting and keeping their oath to protect the United States. They've got 15 to 20 years in Fort Leavenworth. And one guy got released about 2 months ago, and all of the communist press had microphones in his face. And he got an early release. And they said to him, how do you feel about being released early? He says, please help my friends. They're in there, and some of them are on suicide watch. So I'm just going to tell you the quick story of Evan Baylor. Evan Baylor was in Iraq. He was part of a three-man sniper team. I think he was a sergeant. So here's what happened to Evan Baylor. They were posted, and they were concealed outside a village waiting to take out a headman who was Al-Qaeda. And a villager got too close to their concealed compound, and the commanding officer who was in charge of the three-man team jumped the guy, brought him down, and ordered Baylor to shoot him in the head. So Baylor shot him in the head. And after the mission was aborted, the Iraqi villagers demanded that the three guys be brought to justice. They wanted all three to be tried by the Iraqis in an Iraqi court. So our PC Pentagon and decided they would send two home, the commander and the other member of the team, and they would leave Vela to stand trial in an Iraqi court, and the other two were tried in Fort Bragg. Now, the other two were tried in Fort Bragg, and they were exonerated. And the third member of the team was induced to testify against Baylor under the threat that he would be charged with the same charge as Baylor if he didn't do it. So the same military that builds teamwork is now destroying the teamwork by turning one team member against another and using the other member's survival as his goal for not going and doing time. So Baylor got sold out. And the worst part about it is he was tried in Iraq and by American Army officers. And he was found guilty, which was to appease the Al-Qaeda. He was found guilty and sentenced to 15 to 20 years in prison. I believe that the judicial team that sentenced him, none of them had combat experience. Okay, so he's rotting away in Fort Leavenworth, Texas. Now he's got a wife, and I think he's got two daughters, and they are heartbroken and financially broken. They have no income from his salary because he no longer has a salary. They have no benefits because he no longer is entitled to benefits. They had to sell their little home up in Alaska to come down to Fort Leavenworth to be closer to their daddy. And they're living a life of shame and poverty. And there's at least 10 GI families that are going through this effing nightmare. And so, Uncle Donald, if there's anything you can do, I know you. If you get this message, you're going to help these people. And I'd love to see that. So, let me finish reading what Donald says. I look forward to continuing to share my vision for this country We are going to secure our borders, strengthen and protect our military, take care of our brave veterans, build a thriving economy, create jobs, even if you don't want one, you're going to get one, rebuild infrastructure, and most importantly, keep our country and your family safe. Now, what more can you ask for from a politician? He's not a politician. He's a doer. He's a doer. Listen, when you're a New Yorker and you can go into the Southland and be welcomed, you got to be somebody's shining star down there. The next month is filled with campaign events and rallies, and we hope you will be able to join us. Our first stop on the new year will be tomorrow night in Biloxi, Mississippi. On Monday, I will be in Lowell, Massachusetts. Tuesday, we are visiting Claremont, New Hampshire. Thursday, I will be in Burlington, Vermont. His first stop is in the Southland. He has covered the entire South, and he's going to get a lot of Southern support. And you know what else he's going to get? He's going to get Black support, because there are Blacks in the South, and they're savvy. They know what's going on. They're not easily misled by white communist college students. They're farmers, they're workers, and they know who butters their bread. And the Latinos do too, and they've already come out and said, Hillary Clinton is no abuela, abuela. She's no grandmother. You can rest assured she's not. I can guarantee it. Yeah, I'll tell you, a husband who was a big sex farmer, he had a lot of crop failures. Thursday, I will be in Burlington, Vermont, and then Friday, he's going right into the heart of the South, Rock Hill, South Carolina. I hope to see you there. I'm going to follow you all the way. I love it when you come on TV. I can't wait to hear what you're going to say next. Bartender, champagne, I have a coupon. Give you another tune. We'll do a little samba mix.
Come on, come, we must
Beautiful. Makes you feel like it's New Year's Eve. And it's breaking news. A meat plant fires 200 Muslims who walk out after prayer dispute. A meat processing plant in Fort Morgan, Colorado, has fired nearly 200 Muslims who walked off the job after a dispute over the company's accommodation of their prayer rituals. The workers at the Cargill processing plant complained that the space Cargill made available to them to pray was insufficient for their five-time each day prayer ritual. More than 200 workers, mostly Muslims from Somalia. I met a guy from Minnesota. I said, what's going on in Minnesota with the Muslims? He says, they're Somalis. They go into Catholic hospitals and they lay in the bed and they take the crosses off the wall and throw them in the garbage. We got a problem. Either walked off the job or failed to show up for work the next day to protest what they claim were Cargill's new policies that they felt did not go far enough to accommodate their Muslim prayer rituals. And CARE is involved, and they're representing more than 100 workers in dispute. What they're doing is they're robbing the blacks of their civil rights issues. And they are now taking the lead, and the blacks are being pushed to the rear. And this will be more and more in your face. And you know what bugs me the most? When they're escaping terror. They're leaving because they watch their relatives have their throats cut and put into cages and drowned in swimming pools and taken to the beach and having their throats cut on the beach. And they're coming here and they're asking for sanctuary. 10 minutes after they're here, they're bitching. It's like we used to joke about ungrateful guys who would stand in the bread line and demand toast. Every time I turn around, these people are complaining they're not getting enough service. Then the employees failed to show up for work for 3 days. Cargill followed them. And here's what the workers were told. If you want to pray, go home. Cargill fired them in keeping with the company's employment practice. The employment practice, they never should have hired him in the first place. How can you hire 200 guys that can overturn your company? Suppose they start sabotaging the meat. Cargill spokesman Mike Martin said the plant could not provide a large prayer facility without disrupting operations. They also got to wash their feet when they do wudu, so they need faucets also. But I see guys in this picture praying, and they got shoes on. Not many. They'll probably be executed when the picture comes out. He also disputed that any of the workers were told that if they wanted to pray, they should go home. Cargill plant supervisors have been very clear, I believe, that such a statement was never made. Nope, it's bait. It's race baiting. They're stealing a page from the black communists. Martin told the Daily Caller, adding that Cargill's policies regarding religious accommodation have not changed. He said the plant has a designated reflection area since 2009. It can accommodate a small number of people at a time. Employees typically pray during their 15-minute shift breaks or during their 30-minute lunch period. Hussein, however, claims that the workers believe that the policy regarding prayer has effectively changed. To these employees, that is what it is, Hussein told the Denver Post. Maybe Cargill never changed its policies, but to these employees, they feel whatever the policy is, yeah, they're testing the waters. It's all a game. It's called Crush the Infidel. First we come and we smile, and then we get angry. Martin maintains that Cargill has accommodated its employees, and now, you know what's going to happen eventually? There's going to be robots working in all these places. Non-religious robots. Cargill makes every reasonable attempt to provide religious accommodation to all employees. Yeah, I think I'm going to go there and demand that we have a mass of the angels every day. Yeah, you go ahead and do it. You show up with a cross, they'll kill you. He did add that accommodation is not guaranteed every day and is dependent on a number of work-related factors which can change. Well, you don't have a business anymore, mister. Welcome to the New World Order. That's sad, isn't it? We're going to become slaves in our own land. Let's do a little bambacato.
Como um bom bocado pra te devorar, como um brigadeiro pra te lambuzar. Põe a mão no bolo pra comemorar, dança o miudinho pra te conquistar. O violeiro pra cair se toca, de olho no chifre da morena. Aqui zoeira, que festa de arromba. Põe essa galera pra sambar, é debaixo da saia.
We're back. I'm looking at a picture of Donald Trump, and it almost looks like George Bush, but I could be wrong. And the wind is blowing, and their hairs are all blowing in the wind, and Donald's is blowing more than anybody else's. And that's a picture from the Wall Street Journal, which I don't trust. They're not as Republican as they pretend to be. And the caption underneath says, Bush is blowing it like 63 million. Cruz and Carson are good at 20 million each. And Trump, while the rest of the candidates are sweating campaign funding, Trump is on the road speaking freely, insulting everyone, and soaring to the top. And Washington Examiner Sarah Westwood on the 2016 presidential race. Beware of some of these people who pretend to be pro-Trump, and then you'll see them, what I perform, subtle sabotage. The first debate that took place on Fox, that was a clear example of subtle sabotage. They tried to kneecap him at the starting gate, and he turned the tables on him. Now he's going back for another debate on Fox, and let's see if they're more sophisticated in their assassination attempt. But they earned the title Fox News after they pulled that crap on Trump. And I was number one Fox fan all the way. It is really, really sad. Let's see what else we got going here. We got a woman singer. Her name is Katrina Valente. She is a 50s gal. She had a voice that nobody could match in range. I'll give you an example. Nat King Cole's daughter, Natalie Cole, and she passed away. And this is sad. And I got to tell you, folks, your kids are in trouble today. The power of drugs is overpowering. You cannot dance around the fire without being drawn in. You have to avoid drugs like the plague. Never do the first one. You'll be drug-free your whole life. She was born in 1950 to two well-known musical parents, Nat King Cole and Maria Ellington Cole, who was no relation to Duke Ellington, though she sang in the band. And Nat King Cole did some beautiful songs, and he rose to stardom in the 50s and the 60s. He toured and performed worldwide as the first black entertainer to host a national TV variety show in 56. He grew up in Hancock Park neighborhood in Los Angeles, a posh, the predominantly white neighborhood that didn't hide its anxiety about having a black singer as a neighbor. When told by neighbors they don't want undesirable people in the neighborhood, Nat King Cole answered, "Neither do I, and if I see any, I'll be the first to complain." She was inspired by her father at an early age, and she auditioned to sing with him when she was 11 years old. Unfortunately, he died when she was just 15. So she began singing R&B, and then she moved to smooth pop and jazz. And in 1991, she did a record release of her father's Unforgettable, which is a song that's really beautiful. She reworked versions of many of her father's greatest hits and spliced her voice alongside her father's, to create beautiful duets on the album. The album sold over 14 million copies, won 6 Grammys, including Album of the Year, Record of the Year, and Song of the Year. She was nominated for an Emmy in 1992. She appeared on Touched by an Angel and Grey's Anatomy, but she enjoyed touring and performing live. She wrote an autobiography in 2000, Angel on My Shoulder. She shared how she battled heroin, crack cocaine, and alcohol addiction for several years, and she spent 6 months in rehab. "My friends, you don't battle drugs. Drugs wins all the time." In 2008, she revealed she had hepatitis C, a liver disease spread through contact with infected blood, which she blamed on intravenous drug use. In an interview with Larry King in 2009, she said she underwent chemotherapy to treat hepatitis, and she had kidney failure. She required kidney dialysis 3 times a week until she finally received a donor, 2009. Throughout her illness, she continued to tour and perform. "If you don't do drugs, you will be so far ahead in life. You'll look back when you're older and have lived so long, and you'll say to yourself, thank God I never did drugs." You look at Donald Trump. Since his kids were 2 years old, he warned them never to do drugs, never to do booze, and never to smoke. And he's 69. And he's in good shape. So it is said, we see too many beautiful women in the entertainment industry crumble and die because of drugs. Whitney Houston was happier at 11 years old singing in a gospel choir for God than she ever was in her rise to stardom. So, chapter 1 in my book, The Spirit of America Party, deals with the number one problem in the country. And the title of the chapter is Drugs Suck. I'll give you a little Brazilian soft shoe. I'm on Walid Shoebot's website. Walid Shoebot is a terrorist watcher, and I've come to learn something I never realized, that in addition to Muslim terrorists in the Middle East, Mexico has a surge of pagans, they're called, by Walid Shoebot. He classifies them pagans. And they're murdering people in a Mexican state, the state of Guerrero. And I'm looking at a picture that Wallet has, and the kids have been, and their kids and adults. There's got to be two, I think he's got to count. I think it was 13. They stabbed them to death, they shot them, and they beheaded them. And there's two little kids, a little boy and a little girl. They can't be no more than 2 years old. And they're laying in a corner and they're dead. And one person is covered up and all the rest are not covered. And it looks like it's all males. It doesn't look like there's any females that I can see. But the two little children are the heartbreaker. And then there's young kids like 10 and 11. And that's taking place right here in Mexico. And Mexico does beheadings too, especially the drug lords. There are pictures, you can find them on the internet, of a room full of torsos, another room full of arms and legs. And then the heads are put out on the street as a warning. Here's what Walid Shoebot says. This is by Theodore Shoebot. Criminals in Mexico, who are really just heathen pagans without any concept of Christianity, killed 13 people in less than a day in the state of Guerrero, which only reflects the escalating severity of violence in the country. The massacre happened just this Sunday, according to local authorities. Then he goes, he's got another one. The government of Iran arrests 9 Christians for worshiping Christ. And they're young boys, not, I wouldn't say boys, they're young men. They look like they're in their 20s. And they're blindfolded and they're being put in a van. The government of Iran just arrested 9 Christians for worshiping Christ in a Christmas celebration. According to a report, the government of Iran reportedly arrested a group of 9 Christians on Christmas Day for celebrating their faith at an in-house church in the city of Shiraz. There has been a steady deterioration. I hate to click on this and see the governor. Blah, blah. There's another massacre. Muslim just slaughtered 8 people in a brutal slaughter. 80 people in a brutal slaughter of innocent lives. This is in Africa, and they're all young boys, and they're laying on the ground, and the ground is soaked with their blood. They look like they're about 16 years old, and there are people standing around them who look like Muslims. Muslims in Nigeria, all members of Boko Haram. I got to tell you, folks, I would love to see a Delta team that is the size of a division, a military division, a Delta team that is equipped and supported to the point that they can go anywhere in the world, fight any enemy, and destroy them within 7 days. And I'm looking forward to the day somebody invents an evaporator gun, where once you shoot at the bad guy, he evaporates, and there isn't a trace left of him. You don't have to worry. His genes go with him. This massacre just happened after the president of Nigeria, Muhammad Buhari, said that his army had technically won the war. According to one report, Nigerian terror group Boko Haram has slaughtered at least 80 people in a series of attacks. It's sad to see young boys being killed. And you know what they're doing to young girls as young as 8 years old. And pagans attack an old Christian man and his grandson, tie them up, and slit their throats in cold blood. This guy's got pictures for everybody. It's really sad. A pagan criminal in Mexico named Juan Carlos Solorio Torres Italico murdered two Christians in the state of Michoacan, tying them up and slitting their throats. Photos have been presented to the public by Puerto Michoacan Libre, SDR, and anti-narco page dedicated to fighting the cartels. You see, if you give up your guns, this will be you. I guarantee it. Oh my God, you got to see the pool of blood this poor guy's in. I guarantee it. You talk to anybody in Latin America and say, do you have a gun? No, it's against the law. Who has the guns in your country? The government and the narco terrorists. Everybody else is helpless. Oh, and this is, you heard about the Christmas fire. I don't know why he's putting an X there. The Christmas fire mosque last week. I told you so. Last week I wrote an article. This is a guy named Gary Moore, about a fire at a Houston mosque, and the suspected that the fire was started by other Muslims. In addition, I also said that since the mosque was so quick to say there was no need for a formal investigation and that it was an accident, he knew that a Muslim had set it on fire. ISIS plans to slaughter thousands of people in public places worldwide in 2016 for the final battle against the West. We were lucky, thanks to God, that I see pictures of these ISIS guys. They're young guys, and they're bragging about the women they've raped, and they're like kids on a holiday, on a spring break. It's they're not serious people. They're only serious when they're intimidating somebody. But everything's a big joke to these guys. Happy New Year 2016 from ISIS via the UK Express. England is gone. That guy that's the prime minister there, he should clean a pistol and leave a round in it. That guy is useless. All he can do is give a big BS story after the damage is done. And he wants to ban Donald Trump. And the Muslims there, they want the queen in a burqa, and they may get it. If they don't get the queen in a burqa, they're going to get Prince Charles in a burqa. ISIS is planning to massacre, and you know what? You'll know it when all of a sudden all you hear are British accents on TV, and they're all here, and you're going to have to ask yourself the most important question. Why would we allow these losers who lost their own country to come here and help us lose ours? The Sikh terror group will activate a number of sleeper cells in dozens of countries. United Nations now responsible for the death of refugees meant to be under their protection. The communists believe that they can control the world through the United Nations. It doesn't have to be through the Soviet Union. And they can control the United Nations. Today I see a blue helmet ordering people around in my country. That blue helmet will have a hole in it. Posted in general and featured, I don't know by how, but I got a feeling they're going to have a lot of holes in those helmets. Farouk H. Saif, International Director for Rescue Christians. Is there any end to the suffering of Pakistani Christians in Bangkok? How many more children will turn into orphans? How many more families will be broken? How many more tears will be shed? And how many more lives will be sacrificed? It's been years and years. The post-United Nations, now responsible for the death of refugees meant to be their protection, first appeared on Walid Shubat. Oh, this is sad. This is sad. Pegida has been at the forefront, testing against the unwilling Islamization by her so-called elitists, most notably in Germany. Pegida recently produced a song in support of its cause entitled Together We Are Strong. Gemeinsam sind stark. Sind wir stark. Which has outsold Adele in Germany and can be purchased on Amazon's German site, amazon.de. Unfortunately, so they're saying, unfortunately, Amazon is contributing money to the Muslims. Here's the Cargill Foods plant. They're showing a picture of the plant. Cargill Foods plant, there are still people who stand up to the most unreasonable demand of Muslims and their terrorist supporters, such as the infamous Council of American Islamic Relations. Uncle Donald, when the time comes, the first thing you got to look at is care and expose them for what they are. Double kudos to the fact that this was a company who made their decision. Corporations today are under a lot of pressure to cave. The Post care humiliated after they got 200 Muslims fired for telling them to strike appeared first on Walid Shubat. Muslim convert busted for planned machete attack this New Year's Eve. Will something happen this New Year's? Hopefully planned attacks will be thwarted. But all it takes is one. This lone wolf crap, he's a lone Muslim wolf. On an interesting, and workplace violence is all Muslim created. On an interesting note, the man who planned this attack, Emmanuel Luchman, has a YouTube account you can view here. Via NBC News, federal officials in Rochester have arrested and charged the local man. Erdogan, they're worried about Erdogan. Erdogan is in Turkey. He's the prime minister of Turkey. Just entered the Temple of Allah on Mount Babel, aspiring to become the king of Babylon. Allah literally means the gate to Allah. Yeah, I remember that from my Arabic lessons. Ilbab, the door. Also, Babila literally means Babel. This Babila is also a literal golden gate made of the purest of gold in the Kaaba at Mecca. This Babila was just opened for one man to enter this Tuesday. That man was none other than President Recep Tayyip Erdogan of Turkey. They are saying that he's going to be the big guy. Erdogan just said that his caliphate will mimic Hitler's Nazi Germany. And they got a picture of Adolf and they got a picture of Erdogan. Erdogan looks a little fatter. I told you, says Walid Shubat, that 2016 is going to be a very interesting year. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who is a strong advocate of a switch to presidential system in his country, has just said that the implementation of a presidential system while keeping the unitary structure of Turkey is possible. When you look, and then you got to read the rest of the story. I should give you this guy's website. See if it comes up. He talks about a shooting in Tel Aviv. He's trying to rescue Christians from the Middle East. It is really sad. America doesn't need this shit. America has enough problems. We got to get rid of a tyrant. And he's got 1 year left to kill us all. Shubat.com. Shoe like it's on your foot and a bat that flies in the dark. Shubat.com. It'll make your heart, it'll break your heart to see what goes on. It'll break your heart. Let's see what we got. I had something. I had something for you. Oh, I had a good song, but not for me. That's what I'm looking for. Here we go. More Brazil.
Estrelas no céu, mas não pra mim. Lindas canções de amor, mas não pra mim. A chuva cai aqui e o sol já vai pra ali. E eu não sei mais sentir meu coração. Eu sempre acreditei.
Probably didn't hear because the media covered it up. But the U.S. says Iran tested rockets 1,500 yards away from an American aircraft carrier. And I said it in one of the other shows. My biggest nightmare since this 9-1 war ever began was a sinking aircraft carrier with its plane sliding into the water and 5,000 sailors floating in the water, oil soaked and burning in flames. And the day that happens and we don't do anything about it, if somebody says we're going to form a committee, shoot him right away. Shoot him. Don't let him get out of the building. Shoot him. Because we'll be going into World War III. And it'll be in stages. And the first stage will be to take out Iran. And all bets are off. All bets are off, and there are going to be a lot of deportations. We're going to round up more people than we ever rounded up in cattle. So, and they already are bragging that they got missiles that can take out a carrier. And I don't want to see some Pentagonian doing a 2 o'clock press release telling us, we knew this was going to happen and it was only a matter of time. Yeah. Shoot him right away, right on the stage, man. Shoot him. It's unbelievable. It is really sad. Okay. Oh, I'm going to give you this and then we'll close. This is called, somebody sent this to me. It's worth to read. Yesterday, after shopping in our local supermarket, I was in the queue at the checkout. I never heard anybody say queue. Only the British say queue. But we'll give this lady British credentials. And heard when the young cashier suggested to a much older lady that she should bring her own grocery bags because plastic bags are not good for the economy. The woman apologized to the young girl and then sighed. We didn't have this green thing back in my earlier days. The young clerk responded, and that's our problem today. You folk did not do enough to save our environment for future generations. The older lady said, yes, you're right. Our generation didn't have the green thing in its day. She sighed and then continued, back then we returned milk bottles, lemonade bottles, and beer bottles to the shops. The shops then sent them back to the plant to be washed, sterilized, and refilled. So those same bottles we used over and over again, thus really were recycled. But we didn't have that green thing back in our day. Grocery stores put our groceries in brown paper bags that we reused for numerous things. Most memorable was the use of brown paper bags as book covers for our school books. This was to ensure that public property, the books provided for our use by the school, were not defaced by our scribblings. Then we were able to personalize our books on their brown paper bag covers. But too bad we didn't have that green thing back then. I remember how we walked upstairs because we didn't have an escalator in every store or office building. Walked to the grocery store and didn't climb into a 300 horsepower engine every time we had to go 200 yards. But she was right. We didn't have the green thing in our day. Back then we washed the baby's nappies. That's British. Before, we didn't have the throwaway kind. We dried clothes on the line, not in an energy gobbling machine burning up 220 volts. Wind and solar power really did dry our clothes back in our days. Kids got hand-me-down clothes from their brothers and sisters, not always brand new clothing. But that young lady is right. We didn't have the green thing back in our day. Back then, we had one radio in the house and not a TV in every room. And if anyone did own a TV, it was a small screen the size of a handkerchief. Remember them? Not a screen the size of a football pitch. When cooking, we blended and stirred by hand because we didn't have electric machines to do everything for us. When we packaged a fragile item to send by post, we used layers of old newspapers to cushion it, not styrofoam or plastic bubble wrap. Back then, we didn't fire up an engine and burn gasoline just to cut the lawn. We used a push mower that ran on human power. We exercised by working, so we didn't need to go to a health club to run on treadmills that operate on electricity. But she's right. We didn't have that green thing back then. We drank from a tap or fountain. when we were thirsty, instead of using a cup or a plastic bottle every time we had a drink of water, we refilled writing pens with ink instead of buying a new pen, and we replaced the razor blade in a razor instead of throwing away the whole razor just because the blade got dull. But we didn't have that green thing back then. Back then, people took the bus and kids rode bikes to school or walked instead of turning their mothers into a 24-hour taxi service in the family's expensive car or van, which cost what a whole house did before the green thing. Oh, and we had one electrical outlet in a room, not an entire bank of sockets to power a dozen appliances, and we didn't need a computerized gadget to receive a signal beamed from satellites 23,000 miles out in space in order to find the nearest leisure park. But it is so sad this current generation laments how wasteful we old folks are because we didn't have the green thing back then. I think you should forward this on to another selfish old person who needs a lesson in conservation from some smart-ass young person. We don't like being old in the first place, so it doesn't take much to piss us off, especially from a tattooed, multiple-pierced smartass who can't make change without the cash register telling them how much. How's that? Huh? Did that lady say it all? God bless her. Okay, we're going to close. The show is over. Say a little prayer for the Fort Leavenworth 10 who are rotting in prison while they're children and wives rot in poverty, courtesy of the U.S. military, the no cojones military, the U.S. deballed military. Time for, I should give you the real, I'm going to go back and give you the real hot Star Spangled Banner that the guys in Afghanistan like. Have a nice night, folks. God keep you safe.